Magyanatimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. This is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 19th chapter. The Lord instructs Srila Rupa Goswami, these teachings took place at the Dashashvamedha Ghat. And this is a famous verse. Muktanam api siddhanam narayana parayanaha sudurlabha prashantatma kotiswapi mahamune. O great sage, out of many millions of materially liberated people who are free from ignorance, and out of many millions of siddhas who have nearly attained perfection, there is hardly one pure devotee of Narayan. Only such a devotee is actually completely satisfied and peaceful. Purport. This verse is quoted from the Srimad Bhagavatam 6.14.5. The Narayana Parayana, can you get that to me, please? Because we can. We have all the books. The Narayana Parayana, the who? Narayana Parayana. The Narayana Parayana, the devotee of Lord Narayan, is the only blissful person. Who's the only blissful person? Are you all feeling blissful? I think you're Narayana Parayanas. One who has become a Narayana Parayana is already liberated from material bondage. He already possesses all the perfections of yoga. Unless one comes to the platform of Narayana Parayana and passes over the platform of Bhukti Mukti Siddhi, he cannot be fully satisfied. So, Bhukti Mukti Siddhi. So, Bhukti means the idea of trying to enjoy the material world. It's an idea. It's been tried. It's still being tried. It doesn't work out. So bhukti means the enjoying the senses and the mind in the material world, stimulating these external senses. And it's compared to chasing after mirage in the desert. And one never gets any water from that. So then those who realize that it's a mirage and it's futile to chase after it, they give up the idea of running after it. And those are muktis. They're after mukti, giving up the chase for the temporary sense pleasure in the material world. And then there's the siddhis, who find out that there's a lot more to them than just the physical body, that they can connect with the great forces of nature and develop powers which are mind-boggling, and they become enamored of those. And all of these three have some kind of vested interest in the world or in their own enjoyment, their own satisfaction, and therefore they can't be peaceful. However, the definition of a person who can become peaceful is described here in the stage, the pure devotional stage. Anya bilashita shunyam jnana karma nyanavratam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhaktirutama. One who desires nothing but Krishna and who is not influenced by the process of jnana marg, cultivation of knowledge, actually becomes free from ignorance. So the Gyan Marg is based on making a very close study of the Shastras, which differentiate the material energy and the spiritual energy, and disassociating oneself with the material energy. And there's a kind of personal endeavor involved in this. This can result in coming to the impersonal level of understanding God, by one's own endeavor, one can come that far. But to go higher than that requires the descent of mercy. A first-class person is one who is not influenced by karma, fruit of activity, or yoga, mystic power. What is a first-class person? Not influenced by karma or yoga, mystic power. He simply depends on Krishna and is satisfied in his devotional service. So that's an important sentence. They're all important, but this one I'll point out. He simply depends on Krishna and is satisfied in his devotional service. So dependence on Krishna is the hallmark of bhakti. It's based on dependence. Material life is based on independence, how I can become more and more independent. And even the idea of jnana, the jnana mark, independently I'm going to free myself from the material world. And those who become siddhis, they go after great mystic powers. They try to independently achieve these things. Brahma Samhita says that these are even the Munipungavanam, the greatly powerful mystics, they can't approach the tips of the toes of Govinda, because only through the descent of mercy can one attain that. And that requires full dependence on Krishna. He simply depends on Krishna. Simply depends on Krishna. And this makes one's life simple also. In this phrase, one who simply depends on Krishna. One who simply depends on Krishna has a simple life. Because it's very difficult to depend on one's own resources to live in this world. Actually, there's an arrangement in nature for every living being to live. And Krishna is supplying Nityo Nityanam, Chaitanas Chaitananam, Eko Bahunam, Yo Vidatati Kaman. He is the supreme eternal. There are many dependent eternals. The designation between them is that one is fulfilling the desire of all the others. If we notice, there are ants and elephants and all kinds of other living entities. And in nature, there's a way in which they're naturally given with a little bit of endeavor. Not that the tiger doesn't just sit there and the deer walks in his mouth. He has to work a little bit. But the food is naturally there. And when a child's born, milk is naturally provided. He doesn't have to go out and, you know, he doesn't have to go to 7-Eleven or something. There's a natural arrangement in all aspects of nature so that living beings can be fed and nourished. And one who comes to realize that Krishna is already maintaining me and therefore I shouldn't try so hard will then, or can then, give the balance of his or her time to look towards the path of bhakti. Narada Muni gave this famous verse, Tasyaiva hetu prayateta kovido nalabhyate yad brahmatam upariyada. That don't work so hard for happiness in the material world or try to avoid distress, because they'll naturally come to you. Just as we try to get happiness in the material world, so just as distress comes to us automatically, we don't endeavor for it. Similarly, happiness comes of its own accord. There's a certain quota that we get according to our past activities in this life. And trying to adjust that is the idea of the materialist, that I'll work very hard and therefore I'll adjust my situation so that I'll have a happier life or a life with less distress. But that's not possible, says Narada Muni. Therefore, you should endeavor only to find out who is Krishna. And the Shastra says, you have a right to keep yourself healthy. And you should do that. It's your duty. But you should do that simply so you can be strong in body and mind to inquire about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the purpose of the human life. Keep healthy and live a life of self-preservation, but only so you can inquire. And even for that, we depend on Krishna. The Shastra is descending knowledge. It comes down to us through a parampara. It's passed down. Krishna makes himself known through his devotees. Brahma is the first created being in the universe, according to Shastra. And Krishna informs him. He gives him a note. And he says, here, pass this on. And Brahma passes it down. It expands as it comes. He gives him four verses at first, and then now we have 18,000. There's so much to say about Krishna. It's unlimited. But that same vibration that Krishna spoke himself comes down to Brahma, and Brahma passes it down to Narada, Narada to Vyas. Vyas expands it, makes it more available. As it comes down into the material world, one can simply depend on Krishna by hearing this knowledge, and that's what Brahma advises. Jnani prayasam udapasya namanta eva jivanti san mukaritam bhavadiya vartam stane stita shrutigatam tanuvan manobir ye prayaso jita jito pyasitais trilokyam. That you should give up your own endeavor to try to understand God and submissively hear. This means simply depending on Krishna. Depend on the mercy of Krishna, that if you simply hear from him submissively, simply hear from the disciplic succession, feel yourself dependent, then you'll get everything. And Krishna says this in the first verse of the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7. Maya sakta mana partha yogam yunjan marashraya asamshayam samagramam yatagyasasi tachtrinu. That just become attached to me, make your mind attached to me and hear from me, and you'll know everything. This is depending on Krishna. You'll come to know everything. So this one sentence you can live off of. He simply depends on Krishna and is satisfied in his devotional service. That's something you can be satisfied in. If you have dedication to God, you can feel satisfied. Otherwise, if you try for your own satisfaction, you'll get the opposite result. Guaranteed. You'll feel dissatisfied. And if you try to renounce it and give it all up and say, I don't want anything to do with the material world, you'll also be in a state that is not permanent, not stable, and you'll slip out of that position again, because it's not the constitutional situation of the soul to be in either the state of material enjoyment or to try to give it up. But dedication fulfills the desire of the soul. Dedication to whom? Krishna. So this sentence says so much to us. He simply depends on Krishna and is satisfied in his devotional service. Any comment on that? Yes.
Well, I have a question. Like this last point you made, like without give up, just you have to make a dedication. So without give up, how can one develop a dedication?
Without give up
your material, material life, or
why give it up? You don't have anything anyway. I mean, we come into the material world with nothing. We leave it with nothing, and then we claim we have something while we're here. So this is another kind of madness. They say, I have this, I have that, but you don't really have it, right?
Yes.
So how can you give it up, something you don't have?
Yeah, but still, like, for the time being, we carry with that, and
whatever you carry, whatever quota you've been giving, dedicate it. You dedicate it to God, use it in Krishna's service, and then it becomes perfect, purified. So if you have a house, and if you have a family, and you dedicate it to Krishna's service, then it's real renunciation. Sannyas. Sannyas means how to use everything for Krishna. Nyas means where you place things. Like when you do this tilak, it's a kind of nyas. You're placing in the right places, nyas. Sangnyas means how to use everything, how to put everything in its right place. A place for everything and everything in its place. So real renunciation means how to utilize everything that you have in Krishna's service, how it gets connected to Krishna. Then if you do that, it doesn't matter if you live in a palace or in a simple dwelling. The principle is always the same, that it should be employed in Krishna's service. Another point? Question or anything so far? Mukharavind?
Maharaj, the point you made, like we see practically in the example of Srivas in the Chaitanya Leela, like how he was simply depends upon Krishna and satisfying his devotional service. Like even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Prabhu to have to come to him and tell him that, okay, you should worry about your material needs. But he was completely dependent upon Krishna and satisfied in his devotional service.
Yes, nice example. Okay, continuing. According to Srimad Bhagavatam 6.17.28, Narayana parasarvena kutashchana pibhyati. Such a person is never afraid of anything. For him, heaven and hell are the same. Not knowing the situation of a Narayana Parayana, rascals become envious. By the grace of Narayan, a devotee is situated in the most opulent position in the material world. Rascals are envious of Narayan and his devotee. But the devotee endeavors to please another devotee of Narayan because he knows that by pleasing Narayan's representative, one directly pleases Lord Narayan. Therefore, a devotee offers the best comforts and facilities to his spiritual master. Outsiders who have no knowledge of Narayan are envious of both Narayan and his devotee. Consequently, when they see that Narayan's devotee is opulently situated, they become even more envious. But when the devotee of Narayan asks such foolish people to come live with him in the same comfortable situation, they do not agree, because they cannot give up illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. Therefore, the materialist refuses the company of a Narayana Parayana, although he is envious of the devotee's material situation. In Western countries, when ordinary men, storekeepers, and workers see our devotees living and eating sumptuously and yet not working, they become very eager to know where they get the money. Such people become envious and ask, how is it possible to live so comfortably without working? How is it you have so many cars, bright faces, and nice clothes? Not knowing that Krishna looks after his devotees, such people become surprised and some become envious. Text 151. Brahmanda brahmate kon bhagyavan jeev guru krishna prasadi pai bhakti latta bij. According to their karma, all living entities are wandering throughout the entire universe. Some of them are being elevated to upper planetary systems and some are going down into the lower planetary systems. Out of many millions of wandering living entities, one who is very fortunate gets an opportunity to associate with a bona fide spiritual master by the grace of Krishna. By the mercy of both Krishna and the spiritual master, such a person receives the seed of the creeper of devotional service. Purport. When we speak of Brahmanda, we refer to the whole universe or the cluster of many universes. In all the universes, there are innumerable planets and there are innumerable living entities upon those planets. In the air, on land, and in the water. There are millions and trillions of living entities everywhere, and they are engaged by Maya in suffering and enjoying the results of their fruit of activity life after life. This is the position of the materially conditioned living entities. Out of many of these living entities, one who is actually fortunate, Bhagyavan, comes in contact with a bona fide spiritual master by Krishna's mercy. Krishna is situated in everyone's heart, and if one desires something, Krishna fulfills one's desire. If the living entity by chance or fortune comes in contact with the Krishna consciousness movement and wishes to associate with that movement, Krishna, who is situated in everyone's heart, gives him the chance to meet a bona fide spiritual master. This is called Guru Krishna Prasad. Krishna is prepared to bestow his mercy upon all living entities. And as soon as a living entity desires the Lord's mercy, the Lord immediately gives him an opportunity to meet a bona fide spiritual master. Such a fortunate person is fortified by both Krishna and the spiritual master. He is helped from within by Krishna and from without by the spiritual master. Both are prepared to help the sincere living being become free from material bondage. How one can become this fortunate can be seen in the life of Srila Narada Muni. In his previous life, he was born as a maidservant. Although he was not born into a prestigious position, his mother was fortunately engaged in rendering service to some Vaishnavas. When these Vaishnavas were resting during the Chaturmas period, the boy Narada took the opportunity to engage in their service. Taking compassion upon the boy, the Vaishnavas offered him the remnants of their food. By serving these Vaishnavas and obeying their orders, the boy became the object of their sympathy. And by the Vaishnavas' unknown mercy, he gradually became a pure devotee. In the next life, he was Narada Muni, the most exalted of Vaishnavas and the most important guru and acharya of Vaishnavas. This is an analogy that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used, a metaphor for devotional life, the idea of the garden. That light has a short. Bali saw smoke coming from it, so I think we should disconnect it altogether. Otherwise, our new temple may be... That'd be news. Okay, so this metaphor of the gardener, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu uses, and it's a very nice metaphor because it is something that we can relate to. We see it in everyday life, how things grow, and if you do a little bit of gardening, you can also appreciate that there's magic in gardening, there's a miracle to it, but there's also your own endeavor. A lot of magic. Seeds are magical. If you look at them and wonder what's in them, there's a little plant inside. If you open up a seed, you'll see that there's a tiny little plant just waiting in there, and it has its own food. And in the Shirsha Upanishad, it is said, Om Purnam Mada Purnam Idam Purnat Purnam Utachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vishishyate. That this personality of God, it is perfect and complete, and all the creations that come from Him are also perfect and complete. And if you look at a seed, you can appreciate that completeness, what has been provided by Krishna within the seed. Everything. And here in this verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is instructing using this metaphor, and he's saying that the jivas are wandering. That means they have no place to really go in this material world. There's no permanent residence here. That's what it means to wander. And from one life to the next, through the samsara, one moves from one material body to the next, by the force of varied consciousness. And the varied consciousness occurs because of our association. And this has been going on since a time immemorial, called anadi karma, before we can trace out. And in this situation, the living entity is suffering birth after birth, but Krishna is availing himself in this material world just to make the living entity fortunate. So here, Brahmanda Brahmite Kon Bhagyavan Jeev. Bhagyavan means fortunate. And interesting, Prabhupada says in the purport that by chance or by fortune, if the living entity by chance or fortune comes in contact with Krishna consciousness, then he can start his journey back home, back to Godhead. So how does that happen? Generally, it's described that a jiva who's wandering in the material world in ignorance gets what's called agyata sukriti, or unknown good fortune, an opportunity to render some service, to hear about Krishna. Just as Narada Muni, before he became Narada Muni, was just a little boy in a common upbringing, with a common upbringing. However, he met some great devotees. And the devotees carry Krishna within their heart. Yudhishthir told this to Vidura. Bhavadvita bhagavatas tirta bhuta svayam vibho tirta kurvanti tirtani swantakstena gadabrita. He said, you are like a holy place personified because you carry Krishna in your heart. Vidura. And wherever you go, you purify everyone. So devotees carry Krishna within their heart. When some person unknowingly comes in contact with devotees, renders service, they get what's called agyata sukriti. Sukriti is like it's capital. We have a bank account in our heart, and every time we get some of this capital, spiritual capital in our bank account, it fills up. And when there's enough, a faith awakens, shraddha. And then we have a desire to associate with devotees. And this is what it means by good fortune. So bhakti breeds bhakti. When one comes in contact with somebody who's performing devotional service and hears the holy name, performs some service, then that person gets that initial sukriti in their heart. And in the next purport, Prabhupada will describe about the bhakti lata, or the seed, or the seed that grows into a creeper of devotional service. Once one gets that initial contact, it's as if a seed is planted in the heart. But then for it to grow, there's a process. And this is the process of devotional service. Yes.
So it's like the chicken and egg formula, means how, which one in the sequence of order comes first. For example, whether you get bhakti by accepting a guru or Krishna, or you cultivate bhakti, then you attain guru or Krishna. Means, is there any systematic order? Generally, some places it is said that bhakti is never got on your own, rather than it is awarded by the Lord or spiritual master. In some places you can say ato shraddha, then without having your faith and surrender, then that is the ultimate result you get the bhakti. So how the order in comparison of like chicken and egg, which is comes first, which is the result? Would you explain?
Which comes first, the chicken or the egg? Is that what you're asking me? You know I can't answer that. Come on now, Bali. Generally, it's described that one gets a contact with, unknowingly, with a devotee, or with a devotee's performing devotional service, and then there's a deposit made in their heart. When there's enough of that, then shraddha awakens. And then from that, the person associates with devotees. But the question of what causes bhakti, bhakti causes bhakti. Just like anadi karma, you could say, what's the beginning of it? It's very, you know, anadi means beginningless. So there's a way in which the bhakti is very difficult to trace out. We don't say that there's a cause of it, except for association with devotees. Is there supervision? Or, yeah? Okay. Yes.
Prabhuji, why is it called unknown mercy? Why does Prabhupada say it's unknown mercy?
Because a person may not understand what they're getting themselves into. We see this all the time. People just, you know, you felt like that, Natalie? That they do some service, like Narada Muni. He unknowingly rendered service. He just had a good feeling about it. And he did something for these sadhus. The same story, a similar story is there in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita when Gopakumar met his spiritual master. He had no idea this was a spiritual master. He had no idea about spiritual life either. He just had an inclination that I like this sadhu. He appealed to him somehow. So he began to bring him things from home and render some service to him. And because of that, the sadhu one day felt inclined towards him, and he gave him a mantra, he initiated him. And at the time, in this incident, Gopakumar had no idea that what he was even doing. He didn't even know what initiation was. Very similar, when Prabhupada came to America, he sat in a park and chanted, and people thought, that's cool. He's cool. Let's try it, you know. They didn't think, you know, here's a spiritual master. This is an ancient process. They didn't look it up in the book. They just started chanting. And the mantra has its own potency. And then even the first initiation, Mukunda Maharaj describes it in his book. When Prabhupada gave the first initiation, he just called everyone up to his room, lit a fire, and chanted some mantras. And some of them said, hey, we're getting initiated. You want to come? You want to get initiated? And they say, I don't know. What is it? Yeah, come on. But they did, and then gradually they found out what they had gotten themselves into, what they signed up for. So agata means without, you know, a clear understanding. What you may not understand, you may not even know you did it. Yes. Okay.
Hare Krishna, Prabhupada, Dhanavad Pranam. Prabhuji, some of the Lord's associates, it's always said when the Lord incarnates, he brings his associates with him. And Rupa Goswami, he's also a Manjari. That's what is told by the Acharyas. So I always wondered, did Rupa Goswami knew that he was a Manjari or all these associates, you know, in their different pastimes, are they doing it, you know, not knowing that they were actually associates and they travel with the Lord or, you know?
They come to know. For instance, in Gaura Leela, they're, you know, worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then they realize, you know, he's actually Krishna. And they're like, where's all his associates? Because Krishna never goes without it. Then they realize, oh, that's us. So, and the Gaura Gonadeshi Deepika describes how all the different eternal parishads who are his associates are the counterparts in his Krishna Leela also. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Okay, a little bit more, but we're thinking about seeds, and this also makes it more relevant how we're planting seeds. Think of ourselves as gardeners. There was a story I grew up with called Johnny Appleseed. I love that story. Johnny Appleseed went around planting seeds everywhere, and then the trees grew up, and you had something really valuable. And as devotees, we have this occupation. When we understand the science of the seed and the soil and the rain and all these natural processes that take place, partly by our endeavor and partly by the great magic. There's a great magical part. That's why Sankirtan and the process of distributing this holy name is so fascinating. Because when you have an inkling for the fact that you're actually planting seeds, and they're seeds that have an eternal effect, it's very heady. And there's a way in which you can become enamored of that whole process and want to do it more and more and more. The more we realize the efficacy of the seed itself, the more we'll feel inclined to distribute it. Here's a little more from Prabhupada's purport. Following in the footsteps of Narada Muni, this Krishna consciousness movement is rendering service to humanity by giving everyone a chance to come in contact with Krishna. If one is fortunate, he becomes intimately related with this movement. Then, by the grace of Krishna, one's life becomes successful. Everyone has dormant Krishna bhakti, love for Krishna, and in the association of good devotees, that love is revealed. So we have, you know, that soil? Yeah, soil is like, it's a place where the seed goes. Soil's amazing also. I have the gardens in full bloom right now in the backyard. We planted a lot of flowers that are for scent because we offer them all to the deities. So we picked out lots of flowers. They have to have scent. I mean, only a few decorative ones because we had to. But, you know, we got as many fragrant flowers as possible. And then, of course, there's all kinds of vegetables that grow. And they all pull the scent out of the earth. Their flavor comes from the earth. It's all in there. Krishna says, Punyo Ganda Prativyam Cha, that I am the original fragrance of the earth. And remarkably, the seed goes into the earth and then it grows and it pulls all the essence of that out in a particular way. It's a miracle. In any case, if you have poor soil, then you get a lot of weeds. and the very delicate specialty plants don't grow so well. Why? Because over time, the weeds adapt to crummy soil. They'll say, we'll take anything. And the specialty plants, they need a rarefied kind of environment to grow nicely and to flourish. So the material world is like poor soil. It's low grade, low dij. And Krishna describes this in the Gita. Bhumir apona alovayu kam mano bhudra eva cha ahankara ityam me bina prakriti rashtada. He said this energy is inferior. It's inferior energy. It's the crummy soil. When the jiva comes into this soil, then it's like it's a weed-like existence. Not significant. The weeds, everyone wants to get rid of them. They don't think of them very highly. So, could these guests have an asan? Do they have an asan? Oh, okay. We want you to be comfortable, otherwise we feel uncomfortable. Thank you for coming. And this soil of the material world is constituted of bad association. So, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asked, what is a devotee? He gave a simple answer. He gave many answers to this question, but one of the answers he gave was, a devotee is someone who gives up bad association. E satsanga tyage vaishnavachar. Simple. He gives up bad association. And so, that means he takes good association. And this is like good soil. If you get really good soil, plants grow so nicely. In fact, my gardener was telling me that it makes a huge difference. He's studied different kinds of soil. So he buys from American Soil over in the East Bay. And he said, don't get anything else. They have the right mix. They mix in all the right things. And he said, it's remarkable how much of a difference it makes when you have the right soil. So this means if you put yourself in good association, you plant that seed where you can grow properly, then very quickly that seed of bhakti will grow up. So Prabhupada says, if one is fortunate, he becomes intimately related with this movement, then by the grace of Krishna, one's life becomes successful. Everyone has dormant Krishna bhakti, love for Krishna, and in the association of good devotees, that love is revealed. As stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 22.107, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunai Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Kare Udoy. Dormant devotional service to Krishna is within everyone. Simply by associating with devotees, hearing their good instructions, and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one awakens his dormant love for Krishna. In this way, one acquires the seed of devotional service. Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Beej. And now, do you have comments or questions? Shyamalangi.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. So the seed, is it the faith? Is that the seed? The faith which comes in your heart?
Well, first let me say that no metaphor is perfect. Every metaphor has some, you know, leeway, because it's poetical, really. We're getting at a, poetical means it's getting more out of feeling than it is, you know, scientific, like, what is it? You know, let's nail it down. But yes, faith is involved, and the whole process of devotional service requires the thickening of faith, and Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, we're made of our faith. He says a person is made of faith. And that original faith means that we are fully dedicated to Krishna. That's our natural position. But when we become covered, then we use that same energy and dedicate it to everything else. I just saw a bumper sticker on the way over that said that it was advocating saving homeless animals, which is a good cause. Save the homeless animals. And there are millions and millions of good causes in this world. But there's only one great cause. And that is what the understanding that I don't belong to this world. My endeavor to adjust things in this world is futile. And that real, my real occupation is to serve Krishna. And if I do that, everything's perfect. So the answer is yes, it is, it's our faith. And we get a particular type of faith by a particular kind of association. So if we associate with those who are interested in karma or jnana or a siddha through yoga process, then we'll also imbibe that. Therefore, it's recommended that one associate with pure devotees. Because if you associate with pure devotees, then you'll also get that faith, which is the bij, for pure devotional service, unmixed. So tell me more about the soil. What do you think about the analogy? Is it working for you or not?
I was thinking the heart.
Huh?
The heart is the soil?
Yeah, like it could be the heart where the seed lands in the heart. So how the heart is prepared, that will make a difference, won't it? If it lands in soil that's prepared, like Krishna says in the Gita, Yesham tvantakatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dvandva muhanir mukta bhajantimam dridavrta. If someone has this kind of, if they're finished with material life, and they're engaged in, and they've accumulated punya. Actually, it means bhakti punya, bhakti sukriti. Then they can, with determination, take to devotional service very quickly. Sometimes it takes longer if the heart isn't prepared properly. Lavanya.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. How does one accumulate sukriti? In the sense that you explained that a step before that you do service, and then knowingly or unknowingly you acquire this. But there is this filling up the vessel. You start off and you acquire a little bit of it, and then you have to fill up that vessel to get to the point. Because I don't know if there's ever a stage where I can say, I'm done with this material world. Actually, I'm losing faith on that score. I don't think I'm ever going to say I'm done with this material world, because Maya surrounds me almost in and out. But how do I work on the Sukriti part?
Well, first of all, that's what Devahuti said to Kapila Dev. She said, will Maya ever let me go? It seems impossible, she said. That I'm so entwined in this material conception of life, and I really do feel like I am my body, she said. How will I ever actually become free from the clutches of this? And Lord Kapiladeva said, by hearing for a long time, over a long time hearing. And then he said that the process of hearing, it just as when you eat food and the stomach digests the food and distributes it properly, so similarly the hearing process, it digests the subtle material body. In other words, the subtle material body, my conception of I, me, and my in the material world, the false ego, becomes dissolved by the process of hearing and chanting. And where do we get punya? From hearing. Hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Shrinvatam swa kata Krishna punya shravana kirtana. Just by hearing submissively, you get punya. You'll come to the highest stage just by submissively hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. You'll get all the punya you need. It's all in there. It's in the mantras. Yes. We have Vishakha Leela and then we have Shraddha in the back.
So when does a living entity actually receive the seed? Is it during the time of initiation or the moment he comes in contact?
That's in
with
the next entity? Purport. Okay. Shall I read it? Malihaya kare se bijarupan shravana kirtana jali kare se chan. Shraddha, you had a point. Translation: when a person receives the seed of devotional service, he should take care of it by becoming a gardener and sowing the seed in his heart. If he waters the seed gradually by the process of shravana and kirtana, hearing and chanting, the seed will begin to sprout. Purport: to live with devotees or to live in a temple means to associate with the Shravana Kirtana process. That's living in a temple. You can hear the conch blow throughout the day. When I'm in Toronto, I stay right in a room right next to where the altar is, and you know, every artik you can hear the bell, everything going on. It's so nice. In fact, we I lived in the temple for many years, and there's this system we had. Whenever you hear the conch blow, no matter where you were, you just offer your obeisances, even if you're doing service somewhere else, so you feel like you're connected to the whole process. And it's nice living in the temple, being constantly connected to the Shravana Kirtana process. Sometimes neophyte devotees think that they can continue the Shravana Kirtana process without worshipping the deity, but the execution of such Shravana Kirtana is meant for highly developed devotees like Haridas Thakur, who engaged in the Shravana Kirtana process without worshipping the deity. However, one should not falsely imitate Haridas Thakur and abandon deity worship just to try to engage in Shravana Kirtana. This is not possible for neophyte devotees. So we talked about this a couple nights ago, that there's Bhagavat Marg and Pancharat Trikiviti. So Pancharat Trikiviti means deity worship and a whole life of regulation based around how to worship the deity. And Bhagavat Marg means hearing and chanting the Srimad Bhagavatam and chanting Hare Krishna. Chanting Hare Krishna is sufficient for full realization, to come to the highest position of perfection. However, in the Kali Yuga age, because everyone by nature is contaminated because of the age, it's impossible to chant Hare Krishna with attention and purely without having the regulation of Pancharat Trikviti. So our acharyas have said, perform the deity worship in your life, stay close to that process, and at the same time chant, and then you'll get the perfect result. Two tracks. The train runs on two tracks, Pancharat Trikviti and Bhagavat Marg. The word Guru Prasad indicates that the spiritual master is very merciful in bestowing the boon of devotional service upon the disciple. That is the best possible gift the spiritual master has to offer. Those with a background of pious life are eligible to receive life's supreme benefit and to bestow this benefit. The Supreme Personality of Godhead sends his representative to impart his mercy. Endowed with the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the spiritual master distributes the mercy to those who are elevated and pious. Thus, the spiritual master trains his disciples to render devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is called Guru Kripa. It is Krishna Prasad, Krishna's mercy, that he sends a bona fide spiritual master to the deserving disciple. By the mercy of Krishna, one meets the bona fide spiritual master, and by the mercy of the spiritual master, the disciple is fully trained in the devotional service of the Lord. Bhakti Lata Bij means the seed of devotional service. Everything has an original cause or seed. For any idea, program, plan, or device, there is first of all the contemplation of the plan, and that is called bij, or the seed. The methods, rules, and regulations by which one is perfectly trained in devotional service constitute the Bhakti Lata Bij, or seed of devotional service. Who just asked that question? I forgot. Huh? Vishakalila. I'll read that again. The methods, rules, and regulations by which one is perfectly trained in devotional service constitute the Bhakti Lata Bij, or seed of devotional service. This Bhakti Lata Bij is received from the spiritual master by the grace of Krishna. Other seeds called Anyabhilashita Bij include Karma Bij and Jnana Bij. If one is not fortunate enough to receive the Bhakti Lata Bij from the spiritual master, he instead cultivates such seeds as Karma Bij, Jnana Bij, or political, social, or philanthropic Bijas. However, the Bhakti Lata Bij is different from these other Bijas. The Bhakti Lata Bij can be received only through the mercy of the spiritual master. Therefore, one has to satisfy the spiritual master to get the Bhakti Lata Bij. Yasya Prasada Bhagavat Prasada. The Bhakti Lata Bij is the origin of devotional service. Unless one satisfies the spiritual master, he gets the Bij, or root cause of karma, jnana, and yoga, without the benefit of devotional service. But one who is faithful to his spiritual master gets the Bhakti Lata Bij. This Bhakti Lata Bij is received when one is initiated by the bona fide spiritual master. So, the time of initiation, but as we learn, initiation is a process. It's not just, you know, at one particular point that the initiation is executed, but there's a way in which one becomes attached to a spiritual master and becomes enriched by hearing. And generally, that takes shiksha. And generally, a Shiksha Guru over a long period of time becomes the Diksha Guru, and then there's process of tapa, repentance from one's life in the material world, and then there's pundra, which means showing oneself as a Vaishnav, and then taking the name and a vow to chant the name and changing one's name and so forth to Das or Dasi, and then coming the mantra, and then engage in deity worship or yoga. And those are all pancha samskar, or the process of initiation. So all that takes, all that process is considered the training of and the purification of the soul under the direction of the spiritual master, and that's all called the Bhakti Lata Beej. And this Bhakti Lata Beej is received when one is initiated by the bona fide spiritual master. After receiving the spiritual master's mercy, one must repeat his instructions, and this is called Shravana Kirtana, hearing and chanting. When it was not properly heard from the spiritual master, and who does not follow the regulative principles, is not fit for chanting kirtan. This is explained in the Bhagavad Gita 2.41. Vyavasayatmika buddhir ekeha kurunandana. One who has not listened carefully to the instructions of the spiritual master is unfit for chanting or for preaching the cult of devotional service. One has to water the Bhakti Lata Beej after receiving instructions from the spiritual master. So that takes our own endeavor to water the seed of devotional service through hearing and chanting. God helps those who help themselves. And helping oneself means putting oneself in front of transcendental sound vibration. If you can do that much on a regular basis, then the seed will be watered. And it's practically a magical process, just like gardening. If you can get the plants hooked up to the right water supply, just like right now, I have all my plants. I feel good because it took me a couple days to make sure everyone was hooked up because I'm going away for a week, and that every one of them has a little drip system on them now. They have this system is made in Israel. It's really nice. They have these tubes. They go underground all through my backyard, and then from them you can put little mini tubes. And each one you can put right at the root of the plant, and then there's different colored nozzles, and it says on them how many gallons per hour they put out. And then according to the plant's needs, and then you put the right color of nozzle there, and you just put it right by the root. Then that's hooked up to a major system on somewhere that's hooked into the water supply, and then you can just adjust that. There's a little meter. And then you can put each section of the garden on that meter so that it waters it at, you know, at the right level during the certain right times of the day and week. And then once you got it hooked up, then generally the plants thrive. But you still have to go around and look at them, because the best fertilizer is the gardener's shadow. And you have to, I notice this myself, if I don't go out and look at the plants, I don't notice things. But if I go and look at them and say, "You guys all right? Everything go okay?" You know, they're like, "Yeah, we're all right, but those other guys are really thirsty over there. Go take a look." And then, you know, you take care of them. So and we're growing our bhakti garden, we have to be aware. We have to look at it and see how's everyone doing. And we also have to have an automatic watering system. You got to get one of these automatic watering systems. This is called Sankhya Purva Kanamagana Natibi Kalavasani Krito. This Goswamis of Vrindavan, they had an automatic system for hearing and chanting. And you have to, like, I was walking by the baseball diamond. I like this. I like going by they have Little League going on over by Burlingame High School. There's a park right near my house. And so I go by, and I like to watch the athletics sometimes, and especially the coaching. And hear what they're telling, especially kids, and, well, anyone, at any level. I think it's really interesting, the coaching. And I told you this a couple of years ago, but I went by, and there was one coach, and he kept yelling this one mantra at everyone. He would say, "Muscle memory, gentlemen, muscle memory." You know, because it was like, a man on first, man on third, two outs, the ball's coming down the middle, what are you going to do? Muscle memory, muscle memory. it means you have to do it so many times. You have to be so like automatic that it's like, okay, I know. You know, when you wake up in the morning, you get up, you're ready to do your devotional service. You're not taken away by the modes. You have so much muscle memory invested in your devotional service that it becomes second nature habit, muscle memory. And yesterday I was walking by and I saw this coach coaching Little League kids, and he was saying, I don't care about the physical errors, it's the mental errors I'm worried about. And so, he said, if you get it down, you know, mentally, then gradually the other part will come naturally. So, the automatic watering system, yes, Gandharvika. Save me from going too wild here. Oh, and
I was just wondering, I'm not sure.
Leave it with Shraddha because she's been passed over. Go ahead.
I'm not sure if I'm going ahead, but the moment you talked about automatic watering system, the point that came to my mind is Prabhuji has a garden in his the backyard, and half of the plant is a big hole in all the leaves of the plant, the chard and everything, because half of the thing is eaten by the other insects or weeds or whatever it is. So is there anything that we can do so that the auto pesticides or whatever it is to keep the plant away? Because even growing is easier, but protecting it from the other living entities is what is being a big trouble.
Yeah. One rule is, Jim Rohn used to teach this. He said, whenever you grow a garden, it's just an axiomatic truth. It will be attacked. Anything good you grow, when I studied business, and when they talked about as soon as you grow a business, somebody's going to copy. If you have something that works, somebody's going to show up next door to you, like with the same product. Hey, look at this. Cheaper too, you know. Predatory marketing. And there's all kinds of, it's just in the business world, it's like that. There's always competition. It's always going on. And in the material world, jivo jivasya jivanam, one living entity is food for another. And when you grow a garden, naturally, predators come in, and it's amazing. Where do they come from? I once had these bugs come in that looked like they're from outer space. I mean, a lot of them do, but these ones were really weird. I had to really look up and see, who are these guys? What planet did they come from, and why the Burlingame? They liked the tomatoes, and they ate a lot of them. And it surprises you, because they get in quick. Then there's the snails. Now, you got to love snails. They're little vegans, you know. And I just relocate them. I take them. I get them all. You have to go out in the middle of the night. I apologize because, you know, it's a little, you know, disheartening to displace somebody like that. But I take them to the best place I can, to Washington Park. I say, okay, all you can eat. Have at it. Just forget my address. And so there are all kinds of weird-looking bugs. And also there are weeds, too, that come up. And this is the example that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives, that the garden gets filled with weeds. And when he's giving this metaphor, he describes these things. And we have to become expert at weeding and also getting rid of these predators, keeping them away from the bhakti garden, because they will come and you have to be ready for it. And so Prabhupada already mentioned here that there are those who advocate, you know, bhakti mixed with gyan, or just karma, or just all kinds of ideas of Mayavad. And if you read the book Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav, there's a whole chapter dedicated to all the upasampradayas that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati dedicated himself to defeating through presenting the Siddhanta of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because so many people will take up the process and then invent something new. And Prabhupada always warned us, don't invent something new. Follow. This is the potency that you follow what you've gotten. So a lot of these predators come in the form of this independent spirit that I don't want to follow, just do what the Acharya did. I want to invent something else. And then there are all kinds of weeds that are described by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta also. And some of them are more dangerous than others. Some of them are harder to get rid of than others. But that's part of the gardening process. You have to be vigilant when it comes to these predators and the weeds and such.
Is there anything like automatic watering? You said that the hearing process is the one. Is it anything that quality or any activity that takes care of this, that
one
helps
thing
us to
is,
be vigilant?
If the plant is healthy, it helps because it has it. You know, it can withstand some of the attack. But a lot of it is manual. You really do have to be there to see when it's happening and when they're attacking. It's interesting. Sometimes you go out and you see that somebody's eating it, but they disappear. So you have to come at the right time and find them and go, okay, that's it. You know, you've had enough. So that really does indicate that in our process, we do have to carefully look at our own heart and our own practice and weed out those unwanted desires. And it's a manual process generally. I mean, there are kinds of non-toxic sprays and things like that you can use. And those help. Those come in the form of, generally by a good association. We sort of get an infusion of enthusiasm, and we see sadachar, good behavior, and so forth, and we imbibe that, and that helps in keeping away weeds and predators and so forth. Shraddha, you've been waiting for a while. You still have a microphone? Okay.
So Maharaj, commenting first on Gandharvika Mataji's question, does seva also play a role in helping weed out and keeping?
Can't hear you. Sorry.
I was just continuing on with your thought for this question that Gandharvika Mataji had asked. My question was that seva would also play some role there in weeding out the.
How?
I mean, like, you know, when you do service to the pure devotees.
Then how does that? Take it a little further.
So I was just thinking that, you know, when you serve the pure devotees, then inside you the desire to hear Krishna Katha grows, like it says in Bhagavatam, Sushusho Sabdadhanasya.
And it helps you protect you from outside influences and so forth.
And then once you hear Krishna Katha, then you're not hearing other types of Kathas.
Okay. Yeah, nice. Our association. Yeah.
So earlier, Maharaj, I was actually, you had asked to comment on soil and what your thoughts are on the soil. And you were talking about adau shraddha, that in the beginning there is faith. And I was thinking about that, so you have faith and you get started, but then the doubts can come anywhere along the way because the job of intelligence is to doubt everything. And so we have intelligence on one side which helps us discriminate between good and bad, but the same intelligence also doubts. And I think I partially got the answer to that question when you were answering Lavanya Mataji's question on that soil is like association. So if you associate with the right type of people, then the doubts also will, you won't have the doubts. And in one of the purports that you read earlier, the Prabhupada talks about some of the people who are envious of the Vaishnavas and the opulence that the Vaishnavas get. And they will just say, how come you're living so comfortably? How come you have got so many cars? And I was reminded of the book distribution that we went out in Santa Clara, and there was that gentleman who was with his granddaughter, and he had asked the same question to you. He was like, you know, how can we be wearing such good clothes? And you said, Krishna has given that to me. And I remember he was there for about 5-10 minutes constantly ranting, and you just listened to him and, you know, just gave him your association, and at the end of the 10 minutes, he took a Bhagavad Gita and paid money. So I was thinking, like, you know, that was pure association. That, you know, even if you associate for a very short amount of time, it has its own effect. And so if you're associating soil with association with pure devotees of the Lord, so I was thinking that it's the winds of doubt. The winds of doubt will erode the soil and take it away. So we have to be very careful. Mm. So you keep them away there. So.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes, Vishakha.
For the seed to sprout and grow into a nice plant, the climatic condition should also support. For example, if there is no sun, it's gloomy all the time, then the plant doesn't go. And I'm trying to compare this presence of sun to be, in our devotional service, the external situations in our life, our karma should also support. Because many a times I've seen devotees who take up Krishna consciousness, they are, you know, when they are at the right stage, when they are really progressing, something happens, you know, good or bad, and they just lose interest in Krishna consciousness. For example, the devotee may get married and then lose taste in Krishna consciousness, or they may move to a different city and lose the contact with devotees. So I'm just trying to understand how karma also plays a role in our devotional service.
Does karma play a role in our devotional service? You mean our work? The kind of work environment we're in?
No, just our
karma?
The previous
karma? Well, I gave the verse earlier, yesham twantakatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te twanda muhunir mukta bhajanti mam dridavarta. You'll find that in your Gita. In the 7th chapter, 28th verse. And in that verse, Krishna says that one whose sinful reactions are gone and who has developed punya will be able to take devotional service with determination. At the same time, there's no impediment to pure devotional service. Vritasura didn't have great karma. He was born as a demon. Prahlad Maharaj, not great karma. He was born in a demon family, not the right lineage, but it was no impediment to his devotional service and so forth. So there's nothing that can check devotional service. It grows in the most interesting of circumstances. It's not dependent on karma to grow. Although we do endeavor to balance our lives in such a way. This is the conception of Varnashram, that there's a way in which we need to balance ourselves so that we have stability. So if you want to, you know, jump up and achieve something up high, then you have to have both feet on the ground, basically. And so there's this idea of keeping one's body and mind and work engaged in the right way that's complementary to one's life. Otherwise, there may be some discord or maybe difficult to concentrate the mind and so forth in one's process of devotional service. So, yes, Malini, and then Himanshu.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Regarding the soil, I have an experience at home that even though you have best soil and then you've been watering continuously, sometimes you have to loosen the soil, otherwise it becomes very hard and water does not go to all the places evenly. So similarly also, since it is compared to our heart, is there something that relates to that, and how do we loosen or...
You tell me.
Prabhuji, at home we loosen with some fingers and make it loosen.
Yeah, but the part of it, how are you taking that, the analogy to the heart, that a heart has to be softened?
Yes, Prabhuji. Sometimes if you don't pay attention, and then I really don't know what is the instrument that we use to loosen or keep our heart soft instead of becoming it hard-hearted. So that is what my question is.
How to keep the heart from becoming hard? Yes, you want to respond?
I think it's Hare Krishna. I think it's gratitude.
Gratitude.
Yeah,
well, that's a nice answer.
Gratitude and practice gratitude.
Practice gratitude keeps the soft heart.
And I like appreciation. That. Yeah.
And what?
Appreciation.
Appreciation and gratitude.
Yes.
Love. Nice.
Constantly.
Love. Love. Okay. Hey, Manchu, you want to pass the microphone to him?
Actually, thank you, Marni Mataji. I was, I had an analogy on the similar lines, and it also reminds me of one of the Shravanadi Jala regarding composting, which you had written. So, like the soil, it has to be two processes. One, ripped really nicely by the plow so that it becomes quite soft, because if it's not soft, the seed won't germinate nicely. And also, there has to be a nice humus and compost for it to be fertile. So the analogy is towards our heart. Sometimes the bad situations, difficult situations, they kind of rip our heart. And we realize our insignificance in towards the whole cosmos, helps us become humble, check back the basics that we need to be grateful. So that ripping of the heart is actually making it quite fertile. And as you wrote in your Shravanadi Jal, that composting is going on, and in the right amount of time it will become fertile and help germinate.
Nice. So these kinds of experiences, setbacks and so forth. For instance, in the Bhagavad Gita we have this Vishad Yoga, which means the yoga of despair. In the first chapter, sometimes this chapter is called the Yoga of Despair, means that when you experience great reversal in your life, it gives you an opportunity to introspect, right? And that's what you're comparing to, like, breaking up the soil, kind of, right? And then this compost idea, Shraddha? Okay, the compost is that we take whatever experiences we have in our life, especially missteps and mistakes, and instead of just throwing them away, we put them in a compost pile. And there, the process of decomposition takes place. Living entities begin to digest all that and turn it into something valuable. So that comparison we made of composting is whatever kinds of adverse situations we have, mistakes we make in our life, if we actually put them in compost, and compost requires heat. Heat is compared to repentance. In other words, I feel, and repentance is like a kind of tapa. Tapa means heat. That I regret what I've done before, and I rectify it according to the Shastra. And that means that I accept whatever came as the mercy of the Lord. Tate anukampam susumikshamanu bunjana evatma kritam vipakam. Means that, as it is said in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says, it's a small price to pay. I really like this. It's a small price to pay to accept these miseries, this so-called suffering that's coming as a result of my past karma, and taking it as the mercy of the Lord. And this is the price to pay for going back home, back to Godhead. So there's a kind of heat in that, that we take whatever adverse situation I'm in now, the adiatmic, adibhotic, adidaivic, and whatever kinds of reversals come to me, I compost it in that heat. And then it becomes valuable, and I can mix it back in the soil, and then the soil becomes rich, and then the bhakti creeper can grow. Is that what you were saying? Nice. Shraddha.
Maharaj, I was going to give the standard ISKCON answer for, and that is chanting. Quoting from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 2nd chapter, verse number 40, where it says, Evam vrata swapriya nam kirtiya jata anurago dhrit chitte uchai. So having taken a vow to chant the holy names of the Lord, one develops love for Godhead, and the heart melts with love. So that's another way of softening the soil.
The chanting process. Nice citation. Yeah. Yes, and you had a question. And then we have a bhajan coming up.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, if I heard the sequence right, it's a desire. First it starts with a desire, which is mine, and then a mercy comes, and then faith grows. You know, something like that is what I heard. Maybe I'm missing something in between, but
desire, mercy, faith.
Yeah. So my question is, if desire is mine and faith eventually is mine, which I have to grow, and mercy is what comes, what constitutes the Bhakti Laja Beej? Is it three of them or is it just the mercy? What is that Beej?
Well, the Bija is the intervention by the Supreme. It's an intervention. Because when we are wandering the material world, it's not automatic that we come out. And there's got to be intervention from a higher source, higher level, from outside the system. And that's the mercy that comes in. That someone comes in and gives us something that we couldn't get for ourselves and even that we didn't deserve practically.
Prabhuji, one quick question. I have been having this doubt for a long time now. You said that by hearing for a long time, we can get out of Maya. That's what Lord Kapila says to Devahuti.
Yeah.
But then I was also reading this verse, Vasudeva Bhagavati. It said that by rendering devotional service unto the personality of Godhead Shri Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment. So how do we understand that immediately?
So that causeless knowledge and detachment will inform you that you need to hear and chant for a long time. Really, it will. I mean, once you start hearing and chanting, you'll say, this is, in one sense, immediately, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says in Madhurya Kadambini, and this is in Nectar Devotion, that as soon as you take to the process of pure devotional service, it's the end of material distress. You immediately begin a life of auspiciousness, and you can feel that. I mean, those who have come to Krishna consciousness suddenly, almost immediately feel the change. And Mahaprabhu compared it to the poor man who was suffering because he was poverty-stricken. And then when the astrologer came and told him that you're not actually poor, you're really the richest man, and your father left you the treasure, and I could even tell you how to dig for it, then immediately he changed. And when people understand that human life is a big opportunity, and that the mantras coming down to me are affording me that opportunity. It's like when I was in business, I used to have a business where I teach other people how to do business. And when I show it to them, and they look at it and they say, you mean I don't have to work anymore? And like they kind of crunch the numbers and stuff, they go nuts. They get really excited, and I have to calm people down. It's like, no, okay, now relax. This is going to take a while. And that's the other thing. People would get into the business, and then after they get a little rejection or something like that, and say, it's not working. It's like, it works. You just got to pay the price. That's all. And it's a huge opportunity, but you got to pay the price. And so, when we hear about devotional service at first, we do realize it. That, I'm not poor. It's an actual direct realization. We understand that I'm meant for something much more. We all have that intuitive feeling. That's why people try to go to the bottom of the ocean, climb mountains, because they have this sense, I'm free now, I can do anything. It's like, why are you climbing the mountain? Because I have to, But the Vedas are saying, yes, this is the time. You can get everything now. You just have to go about it in the right way. And you can get everything. And when you see it on paper and you understand, yes, I can get everything, it's a joyous experience. You really do have a revelation. But then it comes down to earth. You realize, okay, I'm still a little dug in here. Even though I know there's a process to get out, I have to endure. So then you have to learn the process of digging. So in one sense, it's instantaneous. And in another sense, you see that there's a long road ahead of me. But as Vishnujana Maharaj used to say, the distance we've come is much longer than the distance we have to go. And this is what the Vedas are saying. 8,400,000 species of life. I mean, there's all these birds, you know, and you have to go through every one of those bodies and all these different species. What a waste of time. And then you come to the human form of life. I mean, and this has been going on since a time immemorial. And then you finally come to the human form of life. You have this big opportunity. So that's that revelation is there. And if you're watching online, we welcome you. Thank you for joining us. And if you want to text in a question or a comment, the text-in number is 650-245-7018. That's 650-245-7018. Our operators are standing by to take your calls. You want to play this drum? What? Oh.
So this is from our Pravatidiva Mataji from Sacramento. She says, Dandavat Pranams Prabhuji, this is ringing in my head during this wonderful seminar from your earlier lecture. Taha vishta rita hoye phale prema phal, eha mali siche shraman adi jal.
Jai, that's the next verse in this chapter.
And then she was also talking in response to how you can loosen the soil. She said humility is also one of the
things. Okay, so the verse she gave us, which is well known to Shamalungi, she memorized it. Do you want to say it? Because it's nice if you hear the native Bengali.
Tahan vistarito hai phale prema phal, ihan mali shechenito shravana di jal.
Bravo, bravo. And can you tell us the meaning?
So the creeper of devotional service, I'm forgetting. Okay, by regularly watering it with the water of hearing and chanting, even though you are in the material world, it can reach up to the spiritual world, and the fruits are, I think, love for God. I cannot make it very clear.
Yeah. So it's really nice that once the seed is planted in the heart, then there is a way in which we have to be gardens. Ihan mali sheche nicha shravanadi jal. So we have to become malis, gardeners. And gardening is such a nice activity. George Harrison was a gardener, and he dedicated his book, he said, to gardeners everywhere. He felt a camaraderie with them. And so that watering process means hearing and chanting. Some plants you can water too much, but with the Shravanadi Jal, you can't water too much. You can go on chanting 24 hours a day, and it'll simply increase. Is there another one, Shraddha? Okay. That was Pratibha?
Yes, Maharaj.
Thank you, Pratibha. Shudha Pakata Charanarinu Bhajana Anukula. Pakata seva paramasiddhi premalati karambula. The dust of the lotus feet of pure devotees, ecstatic devotional, enthusiastic devotional service, and service to the pure devotees of the highest order are the roots of the creeper of devotion. Madhava titi bhakti janani jatane palana kori. Krishna basati basati boli parama adare boli. The holy days like Ekadashi and Janmashtami are the mother of devotion for those devotees who respect them. Let the holy places of Krishna's pastimes be my places of worship and bless me. Gaurama Jesha Bastani Korola Brahmana Range Seshavastana Heribhoami Prayani Pakat Sange May I always visit all the holy places associated with the Leela of Lord Chaitanya and his devotees. Mridanga Bhadya Shunati Mana Abhasara Sara Chache Gaurbhihita Kirtana Shuni Anande Ridaya Nache When I hear the sound of the mridanga in my heart, I always desire to join in kirtan. And when I hear the bona fide songs describing Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, my heart dances in ecstasy. Jugala murti dekhi amora paramananda hoya Prasara seva korite hoya sakala prapancha jaya Whenever I see the transcendental Sri Vigrahas of Radha and Krishna, I am in bliss. For by taking their lordship's prasad, we can conquer over the material elements. Jedina grihe bhajana deki grihe te goloka bhaya Charana Siddhu Dekhiya Ganga Sukhana Sima Paya One day while performing devotional practices, I saw my house transformed into Goloka Vrindavan. When I take the Charanamrit of the deity, I see the holy Ganges waters that come from the Lord's lotus feet, and my bliss knows no bounds. Tulasi deki juraya prana marava toshani jani Gaura Priya Shaksevani Jivana Sartakamani By seeing the Tulsi tree, my heart feels joy. And Lord Madhava, Krishna, is also satisfied. When I eat the prasad favored by Lord Chaitanya, it is like a new life's experience. Lord Chaitanya was very fond of a green vegetable preparation called shak. And there is another song in this book that tells of the amazing effects of eating this type of prasad. Bhakati Vinod Krishna Bhajani Anakula Paya Jaha. Pratidibase paramasuke swikara koro yita. Bhaktivinoda concludes by saying, whosoever attains the stage of enthusiasm for these devotional practices will be supremely blissful wherever he may be. So, especially the holy days are opportunities to increase the water table. While we're living in the material world, there's so many ways that we can dry out and become reattracted to the material world. But on days like Janmashtami and Gaura Purnima, Ram Navami, we should plan ahead and fully absorb ourselves in hearing the pastimes of Lord Krishna, Lord Gauranga, Lord Ramachandra. And when the day comes, put ourselves fully into seva. Because one day with a festival and association with the devotees and full absorption, one fills up the water table of bhakti in one's heart. And that can keep you going for a long time. Some plants only take in the water during the rainy season, and the rest of the year they live from the water table beneath the ground. Ekadashi, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions here, is a very important day. If we plan for Ekadashi and respect that day by increasing our hearing and chanting, minimizing the demands of the senses, then we'll be blessed, because it's a special day for bhakti. It's the Madhavatiti, Harivasara, the day of Lord Hari. And this is one of the great secrets in keeping the bhakti garden always fresh and keeping from drying out, is taking advantage of these special holy days. And this next song is called Sri Navadip Bhava Taranga. And we'll trade. Actually, you keep it. But I do need an operator for this one. This is a very special song written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And what isn't a special song written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur? Because all of his songs are great hits. But we found this one. Badahari Prabhu gave me this song, written by Bhaktivinoda. And it's about Lord Nrisingadev. But sometimes we think of Lord Nrisingadev as a Vaikuntha deity. And wonder what is his part in this Rag Marg and the land of Goloka Vrindavan and Radha and Krishna and so forth. And he answers it in this particular song. E dushta ridaye kama Arirepuchaya kutinati pratishtasha satya sadaraya. Hridaya Shodhanara Krishnaravasana Nishinga charane mora eto kamana Kandiyana Shringa Pare Magiboka Kana Nira Pare Nava Dvipe Yugalaba Jana Baya baya paya jaha dashane te hare prasana hoi bokabe more daya kare Jajapi bhashana murti dushta jiva prati praladari krishna bhakta jane badrati Kabe va prasana hoye sakripa bachane nirbhaya koribe mu dakinchane Swachande bai so he basta shigauranga dame jugala bajana hao rati hao name Mama bhakta kripa bale vigna jabe dura shuddha chitte bhajo radha krishna rasa pura E boli kabe mora mastaka upara Suya shri charana harshe dari beishvara Amani jugala preme sattvika vikare darayalu tibo ami shrina shinga dware Premanande Haribo. So that is obviously a very special song written by a realized devotee. And this is an example of the kind of very moving experiences we can have just by connecting to this sound vibration given to us by the previous acharyas. One experience in devotional service, one moment of experience, of full consciousness, where we feel connected to the internal energy can take us on a trajectory back home, back to Godhead. And sometimes people take to devotional service, and then, as somebody mentioned here, the mind is very strong, can pull one away. And then with one word from a devotee or hearing one kirtan or remembering the sound of the madanga, that impetus within the heart can be reawakened. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is encouraging us that we have something very precious. The seed of devotional service is the most valuable, inestimably valuable jewel that we can achieve. And we should take very good care of it by becoming expert gardeners. It means learning a lot about how to take care of the soil, how to get the right kind of light, how to give water constantly to the plants so that they thrive, taking advantage of the rainy season. And in all these ways, we can actually grow from this material world back to the spiritual world, and the fruit will be there. And on one side, it takes our endeavor, and on the other side, the magic is already there. We just have to be very careful as malis, as gardeners. Thank you very much. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Bhakti Lata Beej ki jai. Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bo. Natchariyar marman, natchariyar marman, natchariyar marman, natchariyar marman, hey, natchariyar marman, natchariyar marman, natchariyar marman, natchariyar marman.